father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. And we have made it into the month of August. How exciting, huh? I am pretty excited about the month of August. And we had a little bit of a snap of cooler weather there with lower humidity and everything. And wow, just put the little thoughts of autumn in your head. I don't want to rush the seasons. A good friend of mine says that his dad always told him, never wish away time. And I think that's very, very good advice. Never wish away time, but rather live in the present, live in every moment, trusting the Lord that He is with you and that He is providing everything that you need in that moment and that you are enjoying relationship with Him. But as we are looking forward to these things, I guess I heard rumor that pumpkin spice is making its way back in already. So apparently the coffee shops are turning it into autumn. So I guess we have that to look forward to. But you know what? There's for most of us, there's still a good month of summer at least left up until Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, what am I saying? Labor Day. And when Labor Day comes, maybe that's more the official transition into the autumn season. But it is time as we start thinking about that and as we head into harvest, it's time to thinking about, I know my wife has done some canning this summer. Have you been doing any canning? Have you been storing up anything? Have you been saving up anything? Have you been getting ready for the winter months by doing that? Have you been taking anything out of your garden and keeping that? Well, if you have, then this Sunday's gospel might be of interest to you. This is the parable that Jesus talks about where there's a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. And he says, "What shall I do, for I have not space to store my harvest? I'll build barns, I'll build larger barns, and then I shall store all my grain and other goods. And then you can eat, drink, and be merry." Sounds good, right? Eating, drinking, being merry. Three of my favorite things to do. But then God responds, of course, that, that's foolish, because this very night your life is demanded to you. And all these things you stored up, now to whom will they belong? So is it an admonition against storing up anything? Are we not supposed to save? Are we not supposed to have IRAs and retirement accounts? Are we not supposed to save up in preparation? I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. I think the problem lies a little bit more in the eat, drink, and be merry part, which even I cringe at a little bit because, like I said, those are three of my favorite things to do. But I think it's a little bit about, sitting back and letting life kind of go by. Being pursuing more just kind of pleasure and not seeking to serve and love others as we are called to do each and every day. I think it has a little bit more to do with that than it does about storing up and saving up. Of course, we can get extravagant. We can take our riches to the extreme and say that we must save each and every penny. And there again, that's another way of denying the life of love and service that God has called us to. So a good thing to do in terms of storing up is to store up, but store up with an idea, not just that this is going to be something for me to use, but also how might I use this for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? How might I see how these resources that God has so lavishly provided for me, how can I use that to help others encounter Jesus and His love? So whether it's you're storing up savings from your work, not just so you can retire and live high on the hog, but so you can share with others in your later years, or maybe it's just pulling out of your garden that extra zucchini, which, believe me, I know those of you who raise zucchinis, you always have to share them, right? Because we always get a number of zucchinis each and every year, but. As you do that, maybe it's sharing some of that with your neighbors, maybe especially with those who are in need. or who don't have the opportunity to eat freshly grown vegetables. Maybe it's something like that. So think, have a thought about how the things that you are storing up in this life can be used for your continued life of love and service to which God has called you so that others might know the love of God for them. All right, so that's my little encouragement for this morning. We got a great show coming up today on the Rediscover Hour. First off, we're going to be speaking with the pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Oakdale, Father John Paul Erickson, and he's going to talk to us about the Feast of the Transfiguration, which is coming up this very week on August the 6th. Then Natalie Bandy is going to join us to talk a little bit about her experience with the Missionary Discipleship Series and what that has meant for her and maybe encourage you to think about taking part in that again this year. Then later on, we're going to speak with Sister Maria Ivana, OP, a Dominican, who's also going to get us ready for another feast coming up this week, the Feast of St. Dominic, which is coming up on August the 8th. That's what's in store for us today on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, pause at the beginning of the show here, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Father John Paul Erickson from the Church of the Transfiguration is going to be speaking to us on the Transfiguration. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year, and a guaranteed minimum return in the future, with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
I felt forgiveness in the deep recesses of my soul. I was so empty, and now I'm full.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. We are talking Transfiguration with the pastor of Transfiguration Catholic Church in Oakdale, Father John Paul Erickson, who has listed as his former positions of note, Director of Office of Worship and friend to me. Father, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Patrick, thank you for the opportunity. Always great to be with you. God bless you and your wonderful wife, and thanks for the chance to speak about a beautiful, beautiful, powerful mystery.
Absolutely. Well, just before we get into that, I want to just clear the air here that hopefully that's not a former position that you're a friend to me, that we're still friends, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For sure. I would push it back on you because you've always got a friend in me. I hope you'll never forget the little people that helped you on your way.
Rise. The little people, right? Well, I will always remember you, Father. Thank you for that. All right. So now that we're in part of the Mutual Admiration Society here, let's talk about the Transfiguration. Maybe Jesus and Moses and Elijah had a little Mutual Admiration Society thing going as well.
That's exactly right. Good segue. It's because the Admiration Society, of course, on that powerful mountaintop, Mount Tabor, was the admiration of the Father for the Son. And of course, this beautiful scene where Jesus ascends the mountaintop with his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, and they witness something extraordinary. It's the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's rather significant. Mm. This feast day of the Jewish people in which they commemorated their exodus from slavery to the promised land, living in tents. And of course, Jesus himself, the great liberator, the great lawgiver, the great fulfillment of the prophets, he is manifested in his fundamental identity, and that is as the Son of God. And You know, it's very significant, Patrick, that the Transfiguration is found in the Synoptic Gospels, as you well know, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's not found in the Gospel of John, but many commentators see the prologue of the Gospel of John really as the Transfiguration revelation of the Gospel of John, which is, again, the identity of Jesus as the Son of God, which matters to us not only because it shows us who Jesus is, not just a lawgiver, not just a prophet, but God, the Son of God, but it also opens up to us the real mystery of our own destiny, which is to also be beloved sons and daughters of God. It's an astounding, awesome, awesome thing. And it not only touches upon the life of the Lord, it touches upon the life of the believer.
Yeah, well, of course we want to get into that too. What does it mean for us, right? I mean, why? Well, first of all, how long the church has been celebrating, particularly this feast? Has it been since it happened, more or less?
That's a great question, Patrick. As far as I'm aware, yes. I mean, it's been with the memory of the church since the very start, this incredibly significant event. And I will say it. You know, the church celebrates it universally, and so the East, the Christian Catholic East, both Orthodox as well as Catholic, really see this mystery in its real deep importance. We as Roman Catholics, you know, Latin Rite Catholics, we certainly celebrate it in a beautiful way as well. But I have to say that some of the celebrations that I've seen both with my own eyes, but also through YouTube or other things, the East really celebrates this feast in a powerful way. And I think it's because in the East they have this deep sense of the mystical, of the spiritual. Us Latin Rite Catholics, we've got that too, but sometimes we're more interested in some of the realism, say, of the Passion. Mm. But the short answer to your question is yes. I think the Church has been celebrating this mystery since the very beginning, of her life and her reveling in the revelation that Jesus is God.
Yeah. Okay. So this was obviously, both literally and figuratively, a mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John. And why do you think Jesus chose to reveal his glory like this at this time in his earthly ministry to those three?
Yeah.
Why excellent. Choose this and in this way?
Yeah, excellent question. I would say the first answer, quite frankly, is it. I mean, obviously, I want to be careful here because Jesus and the Father, their will is the same. At the same time, it was the Father's will. You know, it was the Father's decision to do this. That, you know, maybe Jesus himself was kind of surprised by the event in his human nature. But having said that, I think the Lord, of course, knows what is coming. He knows that he is about to be crucified on a mountaintop. Now, it's not a terribly high mountaintop, but frankly, for those who have been to the Holy Land, they know that Mount Tabor is not terribly tall either. But Golgotha is the mountaintop of the ultimate transfiguration, where God himself will be transfigured to become one of us. You know, it's the fullness of the revelation of Bethlehem, where God, the infinite one, dwindles to infancy in the words of the prophet, or in the words of the poet, excuse me. And fast forward 33 years, and a mountaintop is found, so no longer a lowly stable, but a mountaintop. But what do we have? We don't have a God speaking from fire. We have a God who seems to be shrouded in darkness and in blood, literally, and in mystery. And so Jesus wanted to fortify these men for the upcoming event of the crucifixion. Now, one can say, with the exception of John, little good it did. They all ran still.
Sure.
But, however, they were able to reflect upon that experience of the crucifixion after the fact through the lens of the power and divinity of Jesus, which propels the Calvary event into a whole new level. It's no longer just, you know, the just man gets crucified. Well, we've seen that about 1,000 times in human history. No, it is God subjecting himself to human brokenness so that he might enter into it and indeed transfigure it. So it's always got to be seen in connection to not only the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, but also as the full illumination of Calvary.
Okay, say a little bit more about that since you brought up the Old Testament. I mean, yes, Moses and Elijah symbolizing the law and the prophets, right? But break that open for us a little bit more. Why Moses and Elijah? Why? What kind of an effect would that have had on Peter, James, and John?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know what? I have to say, I'm going to play a little Homer here. Here at the Church of the Transfiguration, we have two beautiful murals in our sanctuary of Moses and Elijah, of course, connected to this great mystery. And in both scenes, Moses and Elijah, on mountaintops themselves, are confronting and confronted by or involved with fire. So in the case of Moses, he's speaking, of course, of the burning bush. Ultimately, what will happen is a speaking fire, a speaking illumination, will liberate the chosen people. Well, Jesus Christ himself is the liberator. He himself is the living flame of God's love, which will liberate the fulfillment of the chosen people, the believer. Then on the other side, you got Elijah, who also confronts a fire, or rather calls it down from heaven, in his confrontation with the prophets of Baal. You know the story. The chosen people are once again in slavery, no longer strictly speaking by a foreign power, although that is true. They're enslaved by fear. They're enslaved by Jezebel and the gods of the demonic. And Elijah, the great prophet of the Most High, calls down fire to show who is God, again, the liberating one, the true and living God, the only God. And so I would offer, Patrick, that Moses and Elijah, as you say, fulfill, they are the lawgiver and the prophet par excellence, but they also are mountaintop climbers. Mm-hmm. They also experience God on mountaintops, and they are dealers in fire, if mm-hmm. you may say. And Jesus himself becomes both the living flame, and he becomes the answer to the prayer of the people that need a sign of God's presence. He will become the fire from heaven, which will liberate us from the forces of darkness.
Wow. Yeah, I like it.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so yeah, again, you're transitioning well now, Father, because my next question was going to be, just help us utilize our Ignatian imagination here, and what would this have been like for Peter, James, and John? And in extension, what does it mean for us today?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, the words of Peter here are very significant, because in all the synoptics, I think this is true, you know, Peter's response is one actually of wonderment and indeed of holy fear. I think this is a quite frankly, Patrick, this is a gift of the Spirit that we don't emphasize enough these days. We're awfully familiar with holy things these days, and I do think it's one of the areas where we as Christians, and as Catholics specific, we need to grow. We need to recapture, or maybe more to the point, be given again the gift of fear of the Lord and an awe-filled wonder in the face of mystery. We believe that we can know all things. We can't. God is radically other. So Peter's experience on the mountaintop, which I think would have been ours, would have been one of profound wonder and awe and kind of an existential terror, kind of a, you know, what I am seeing, what I am observing here, is something which I have no category to fit it into. This is beyond what I know to be. In fact, Scripture says that Peter hardly knew what to say. To name something indicates understanding. Peter doesn't get what is happening. He doesn't fully comprehend it yet. And so, at the same time, you know, you have these words of the Father of profound tenderness. And how those came across, whether a big booming voice from heaven, whether it was something interior to the men, who knows? It's a mystery. But they were given this revelation that this one, this wandering preacher, is somehow the chosen one of God, the Son of God. And so there was this mix of holy fear and profound consolation. And the only experience that I think I can compare it to that I'm aware of would be some of the great mystical experiences of the saints, say the ecstasy of Teresa of Avila. This mix of an awareness of God's awesome, tender love, but also his power, his unspeakable majesty, And I think, final point, I promise, this both and of the Transfiguration is something which touches upon the heart of the Catholic way of life. We believe both in a God who is radically other and a God who's crucified. We believe both in a God who speaks the world into existence and can be held like a baby. This both and is the Transfiguration experience, which is also our life. We are both sinner and called to be son, and indeed, by our baptism, we are sons and daughters of God. We hold within our own lives the both and of the mystery of our faith.
Wow, Father, thank you for that. I'm ready. I'm ready for the Transfiguration.
Me too. All right. Get that mountain up.
That's right. That's right. Well, okay. So, Father, before we let you go, update us then about what's going on out at the parish of the Transfiguration in Oakdale. Yeah. How's it going out there?
I'm very grateful, Patrick, that you asked. It's going wonderfully. We had a really wonderful event last night. Father Rocky, who I think relevant radio listeners
I think we know him.
Yeah. He came out and he began a series here at Transfiguration. I'm really excited about the Reverend William Baer Memorial Lecture Series. And Father Baer, as everybody knows, was a beloved pastor of Transfiguration, longtime rector of the college seminary here in St. Paul, and died quite unexpectedly. And I wanted to honor him in a way that recognized this great gift of preaching and speaking. And so we brought in some really great speakers. Father Rocky last night spoke about praying well. On August 15th at 7 p.m., Bishop Betancourt of Hartford, longtime formator at the seminary, St. Paul Seminary, will speak to us about dying well. And on August 29th, Bishop Cousins will come at 7 o'clock and speak to us about loving well. So they're all free, and I encourage relevant radio listeners to come on down and hear some great speakers and reflect upon our beautiful, life-giving, transfiguring faith.
Fantastic. Well, I wish you all the best in that. I pray that each and every one of the events goes extraordinarily well and bears a lot of fruit in people's lives. I think that's great. Father, you do such good work, and it is always a pleasure to speak with you and to know you. Before we let you go, though, could you please give us an on-air blessing?
Absolutely. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Through the power and the dignity of the Transfiguration, may all relevant radio listeners and Rediscover listeners experience God's blessing, God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father John Paul Erickson, pastor of Transfiguration in Oakdale, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Always a pleasure, Patrick. Take care.
God bless. All right. Wow. Well, if that didn't get you fired up to celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, I don't know what will. That was an amazing bit of exegesis there and application to our lives as followers of Jesus, as Catholics. And drop in on Transfiguration sometime. Go to one of those events that Father Erickson was talking about on August 15th and August 29th. With Bishop Betancourt and Bishop Cousins, respectively. I'm sure you can search their website and find out more information. Joining me now in studio, Natalie Bandy is the environmental specialist, or an environmental specialist, for St. Paul Public Schools. She is a self-proclaimed adventure junkie, enjoying events such as skydiving, bungee jumping, scuba diving, snorkeling, whitewater rafting, fun yakking, extreme kayaking, backcountry camping. And her passion is getting people outside and learning through experiential learning. Natalie, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having me.
I know we're supposed to talk missionary discipleship, but I have so many questions about... Okay, remind me again, what is fun yakking?
Fun yakking's like whitewater rafting and kayaking combined. So it's like a big, giant blow-up kayak that just bounces off the rocks when you go over waterfalls and down rivers.
I think at some time in my life I might have been interested in that, but the last time I went whitewater rafting with a group of people, mm-hmm. I was the first one out of the boat over the first falls. And when I was swimming around in the river, they pulled me out. And then the guy says, "Well, that first one was the easiest one." Thanks be to God, I stayed in the raft for the rest of it. Anyway, God bless you in doing that. Let's talk missionary discipleship. Now, you were part of the Missionary Discipleship Series, sponsored by the Office of Evangelization here this last year.
Yep.
And when and where did you meet?
So I recently, within the past year, moved to Minnesota. And so that's kind of, I was looking for a parish. I was looking for just trying them all out, and I had heard about the missionary discipleship through actually a coworker, and she kind of knew where I was on my journey and how I was seeking, and she just gave me the info and was like, "You should check this out." And so I did, because I wanted to meet people that were on the same journey and seeking the Lord as well. And what better way to meet people on that journey than a Bible study?
Nice. Yeah, exactly. So just in case our listeners are unfamiliar, so the way this was laid out is, mm-hmm. it was really three intertwined parts of 4-week series, one in the fall, one in the winter, and one in the spring, right?
Yep.
And what did you focus on for each of those?
So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that the first session was mainly about prayer and how to pray and growing in that relationship with the Lord. And then the second session, I believe, was more about leadership and how you become a leader within your church and to be a disciple. And then the third session was more about how to go, how to go and do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be sent and share the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Very good. Now, there were things in between each of these 4-week sessions that you were meant to do or sent to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a very cool setup, how you would go and for the first, the 4 weeks you would learn and grow in your faith, and then they would accompany you for the next several weeks until the next session. And so it was kind of set up where you would go and learn and then go and do. So go practice what you learned, and then they would build on top of that. So we would get weekly emails, events to participate in, adoration hours, so you would form that community and that relationship base and practice. And it was kind of nice because it's not as daunting to commit to a 3-month Bible study. It's more of like 1 month at a time with the practice months in between.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I always thought the setup was kind of genius. So you commit 4 weeks in October, maybe, and 4 weeks in February, March, somewhere in there. Yeah, et cetera. Well, now, the Missionary Discipleship Series was open to people of, at least adults of all ages, right? And you are a young adult, mm-hmm. and you weren't the only young adult who was part of the series. So how did it go? Give us your unique perspective as a young adult who went through the Missionary Discipleship Series.
Yeah, I went because I wanted to meet people my age, but when I got there, it was a wide range of ages. Everyone from young to older to middle. I mean, anyone you could think of was at this series, and it was so easy to meet everyone and connect with everyone, and I actually got really good friends from different parishes, and I'm still in touch with them, and it was very cool because actually during the time of the Bible study, there was a couple events in my life that had happened, and I knew that I could easily reach out to anyone within the series and be like, can you just say a quick prayer for me? And knew that they would pray. And that's something very powerful that, we almost forget that we have this community of people that can pray, and prayer is powerful. It's so powerful. And so that was one thing I had at least taken away from the series, was getting that community and getting that prayer. And it was just, you could meet so many different people in such a easygoing, fun environment. They always provided coffee and food. So that's always
that's it,
easy.
I'm there. Yeah. Right, yeah.
And always, it was a really good time. It was a good hour and a half just to set away each week during the series and, mm-hmm. and give to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. So did this series particularly challenge you in any way? I mean, challenge you in your faith, challenge you to step out or to step up or in something like that? I mean, you're an adventure junkie, and so that being the case, following Jesus can sometimes be an adventure.
It can.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say that the series really challenged me to think about what I do in my spare time, what I do in my off time, because it's so easy just to sit and watch Netflix, right?
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Hey,
like we
why
said
not?
At the top of the show, right? Yeah, exactly.
But to take even that a step further and to go to adoration, go to daily mass, go do volunteer hour, just give your life for others and be in community with others, I think is very important. And just to really look at what you do and see the Lord in everything and everywhere in your life, I think is something I really took away from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, each time that the Missionary Discipleship Series met, you had a speaker, and any favorite speakers, things that people that stood out to you as, I really enjoyed this presentation, or any favorite topics?
Well, of course, you were a speaker.
Oh, well, I was baiting a little
bit here.
It's fishing season anyway. So, yeah, no.
I think all of the speakers were so great. It's hard to just pick one. Okay. I mean, all the topics were different, and they all had different perspectives that they were coming from, whether it was a priest or a lay person. it was all so different. It's hard to choose one. I really enjoyed, if I'm being honest, the first session, just because it was all about prayer and just like knowing how powerful prayer can be. I think it was very good for me to learn even and dive deeper into that. But yeah, I think all the talks were just amazing. You always learned. You never went away not knowing something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's high praise, right? What would you say to somebody who is maybe they're thinking about checking it out? How would you encourage them to follow through with it and sign up?
Personally, I would say just go. Why not? Why not try something new? Get out of your comfort zone. What's the worst that can happen? I mean, you always get food, you meet people, and then you learn something. And so I would just say, just go and try something, because that's building a relationship with the Lord. You're seeking, you're on your journey, and just push yourself to do something different.
Now, I think it should be said that the whole idea for the series, or at least the title for the series, came about because Pope Francis has been talking a lot about what it means. In fact, he has said that we are all missionary disciples. And I think for some Catholics anyway, that's what does that mean? You know, help define that a little bit more. And so the Office of Evangelization created this series to help people understand what it means to be a missionary disciple. Do people have to have some form of you know, they have to have reached a certain level, would you say, before they partake in this series?
Not at all.
Really?
No, I think we're always on this constant roller coaster in our faith, right? And some days you have up, some days you have down, dryness, and some days you just can't get enough of Jesus. And so I think you can be at any level and go and learn. I know that's something I struggle with, of comparison, right? Like you surround yourself with these such holy people and you're like, wow, they can say that prayer in a different language by memory and I don't even know what they're saying. And yet you're learning from them, you're growing from them. So even just surrounding yourself with people like that, you're going to learn and grow. And I think you can be at any stage in your faith and go to this series.
You mentioned a couple times, including that last time you were just speaking, that there was something about a community there. This was networking. It was a good time for you to meet other people, to grow in your faith that way too. Talk a little bit more about that, about what actually, how do you do that? Were you together in small groups? Were you speaking with others before and after? Or how did that work?
They kind of, the way it's set up, when you walk in, you just sit down at a table. Mm-hmm. I know our first session we were in a church, but then you're in a pew, so you just sit by people. And I went and I didn't know a single person. I went completely alone and I met a lot of people. Not all I remember their names, but some are really good friends. And it's set up for success. It's set up in a way where it's very easy to talk. There are moments where they give you questions and you just talk in a group, and if you feel safe to share, you're more than welcome to share. And if not, then you can just sit and listen to other people's stories or how they interpreted what the priest or the speaker said. And so it's set up to be able to easily talk with other people.
Mm-hmm. Great. So prayer, leadership, and then sharing the faith, going, being sent, that sort of thing. How has it enhanced your understanding of what it means to be a missionary disciple? And then again, just revisiting what you said before about how it's enhanced your practice of being a missionary disciple.
It's enhanced it by giving me just this greater desire to be seeking the Lord and growing in relationship with the Lord, and to have the materials to continually practice that. And if I forget something, I can go back. We're given a binder with all the materials from each session, and I continually read that because there's such good scriptures and reflections, and I took notes, and so it's fun to go back and be, oh, how do I do this, or what was that about? And there's information about saints, and so it's. Yeah, it's set up in a way that you can continually learn and grow and move forward. I think that was your question.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's it, continuing to grow and move forward. There's a missionary aspect to it, though, as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we need to cultivate that personal relationship, that personal encounter with Jesus, and it's another word Pope Francis uses a lot, is encounter. But we also, there is an element that cannot be denied about discipleship that means going out and living the life then, right?
Right.
by words and actions, sharing who Jesus is with the world.
Right? And I think doing that too is by being an authentic witness. Being, you know, you can read and study and pray all you want, but if you go out into the world and you don't show people that, they're never going to know. And so by living your life by faith and living in a way that others see you and want what you have. They want that joy. They want that love because it's just emanating through you, I think is really important and a good thing to remember as Christians, especially going out and being scared, like, oh, should I mention this? Should I not? Should I say this? Should I not? But by living it is how you're really going to show other people God's love.
Yeah, some of the most beautiful lives I've ever encountered are people who really take their faith seriously. Yeah. No question about that, right? So we're talking about the Missionary Discipleship Series this past year, and Natalie Bandy's sharing her experiences with it. If you are interested in checking out, it's coming back again. This time it's going to be hosted both at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids and the Church of St. Joseph's in Waconia on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. It's coming up again. It's a three-part series, so the first part about the first 4 weeks are on prayer. That'll happen in the fall. The second 4 weeks are on leadership. That'll happen in the winter. And the third four-week sessions, those are on, being that missionary, being sent out, living the faith in the sight of others so that others may see and respond to God's love for them. That's happening in the spring. And if you are interested in more information and to register, go to archspm.org. That's the Archdiocesan website. And just search for Missionary Discipleship. I'm sure it'll come right up there, and there's more information there. Natalie, before we let you go, that seems to be a recurring theme in what I'm telling people today. before we let you go, give us a sense for who should consider coming to the Missionary Discipleship Series. Who are the people who should really take this seriously?
I think the people that should really consider going are the ones that want to go and do more and learn more and be more. Just any that are just on that journey of desiring how to move forward but don't exactly know how that looks or what that looks like, I think should really consider this discipleship series, and it's going to do amazing things for you.
Yeah. Well, so it's a little bit like I was going before. So the eat, drink, and be merry folks, they can leave it alone. But everybody else.
Exactly.
If you want to move forward, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So it's, and I think that's exactly how it's designed, quite frankly, is for anyone who wants to move forward in their practice, their living of the faith. This is a great resource. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour with us, and all the best to you. Stay safe in all your adventure-seeking activities, will you?
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, God bless. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got Sister Maria Ivana from the Dominicans who are going to get us ready to celebrate the Feast of St. Dominic. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chapel with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Tear away the ties that bind you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, Sister Maria Ivana, OP, the Order of Preachers, a Dominican, is with us, and she is the principal of St. Croix Catholic School in Stillwater. She previously served as principal of St. Vincent de Paul Catholic School in Denver for 5 years. And then she was she also served as the vice principal of academics at St. Cecilia Academy in Nashville. And that's kind of the home turf there for you Nashville Dominicans, is it not?
That's right, Patrick. Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome to the program. I should say that first of all.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Yeah, thank you very much. And we are picking your brain about about St. Dominic and his feast coming up on August the 8th, so this coming week. Why don't you just give us a general introduction to who St. Dominic is?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. It's a great honor for a Dominican to be sharing a little bit about St. Dominic, our Holy Father. So St. Dominic was born in Spain in 1170. His mother, Blessed Jane of Aza, whose feast day we celebrate today, along with his brother, Blessed Manes, so another holy family.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful holy family.
I guess so.
So 1170, and Dominic saw as a young man, as he was part of the canon regulars or religious, rampant within the area in which he was, heresies and errors that were leading people astray from the Lord and from the truth. Having really developed a personal relationship with the Lord himself, particularly through the Word, the Scriptures, Dominic wanted to bring other souls closer to the Lord Jesus and wanted to combat those heresies and those errors. So he, inspired by the Holy Spirit, began the Dominican Order. So the Dominican Order began with a group of nuns, actually, cloistered nuns.
Fantastic. That's the way to start it.
That's right, in 1206. So Dominic got the backing of the nuns' prayers for the salvation of souls for the preachers. Great wisdom. And then in 1217, the fathers were officially began in their preaching. So the friars, young, sent out all over the countrysides of Europe preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus. After that spirit of St. Dominic, which, as I mentioned, being rooted in the Word, the person of the Lord Jesus, the sacraments, especially the holy sacrifice at the Mass, Dominic was known to be found weeping as he celebrated the Mass, being protected by Our Lady, a great lover of Mary, and being really guided by her, the God-bearer who brought the Word was made flesh within her. And so St. Dominic, being guided by her, wanting to bring, as I mentioned, more and more souls closer to him through the preaching of the friars, the prayers of the nuns, and later on the establishment of the Third Order and the laity as well.
Wow. All right. So great overview of St. Dominic and his life. Talk a little bit about Our Lady giving the rosary to St. Dominic.
Yes. So as I mentioned, St. Dominic being rooted in the Scriptures and loving Our Lady very, very much. So he found in her a very powerful protectress. And so we have, you've probably seen in many images, that image of Our Lady giving that rosary to St. Dominic. Often pictured also as Saint Catherine. And so as Dominicans, what we do is we take that rosary. We, the Nashville Dominicans, wear a rosary since they'll have them at all times, really as a method of prayer, of contemplation, of being able to, as we pray those mysteries of the rosaries, contemplate the life of our Lord, his love and his mercy, and then go out and preach those very mysteries after that spirit of St. Dominic, again, guided by her, bringing souls to Jesus through Our Lady.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay. What is celebrating the Feast of St. Dominic, what does it mean for the average Catholic? Mm-hmm. Why should we honor him specifically?
That's a great question. As you asked that question, I was thinking about our celebrations at the Mother House.
Yeah, what do you do? Tell us what you do.
Well, after Christmas and Easter, St. Dominic's Day is right there.
I'll bet.
Right behind. So we celebrate the feast as a solemnity. So the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, beautiful music at the liturgy, all, of course, about St. Dominic and his good work, bringing souls to Christ. Dominicans, you know, we recognizing the dignity of the human person, God making us body and soul, so starting in prayer and celebrating with wonderful feasting as well throughout the day.
I've been to some Dominican feasts. You all know how to do it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And yeah. In community, I should have mentioned earlier, too, Dominic's vision of the brothers went out two by two, and I think that was really foundational to his vision, that importance of community life. And so each day, in a special way on the Feast of St. Dominic, we as National Dominicans spending extra time together in community, again, first grounded in prayer, and then just enjoying each other's company through that vision of St. Dominic. So I think for the person today, getting to know St. Dominic, I do think he has a lot to teach us about community, whether that's family as community, whether that's parish as community, school as community, religious life as community, that the Lord gave us each other so that we could help bring each other closer to him. So I do think that is one of the great gifts St. Dominic has to give us. And also that the beauty of truth. So one of the Dominican mottos is Veritas. And so truth brings us to the one who is the truth, right? The person of the Lord Jesus. Whether that is we're studying, you know, in our schools, science or math, all truth leads us to him. And so as preachers and teachers of the truth, always pointing to the Lord and bringing the Lord to souls, helping them understand his love and his mercy. And we are all called to that in the universal call to holiness.
Very much so. And you do see that, I know in my rubbing shoulders with Dominicans, I see that dedication to truth and learning so that we might stretch out in a way for the truth as it, it brings us closer to him, as you said, one of the three transcendentals, right? So
that's right.
Absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the order, the Dominican order here for a second. First of all, give us the snapshot of your own call into the Dominican order.
Sure. So our congregation is called the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and really integral to my own discernment was a youth group I was involved in high school. Very much founded, actually, now that I look back upon it, in the spirit of St. Dominic. So it was very Eucharistic, very catechetical. Two priests were more or less our youth ministers. And each Sunday we'd gather for several hours and we would start with a rosary. We would receive some catechesis and then we would enter into prayer in common. And so we were
really, being set up.
I was being set up and I didn't even know it. So really a beautiful preparation for me. So in those years of youth group and high school, just feeling a tug on my heart that the Lord was calling me to a something more that I had a hard time identifying at first. I very much wanted to be a wife and mother and have a big family. And a climax of my vocation came at one point where I was really grappling with this desire that I had to be married and to have a big family, and essentially said to Lord, thank you, Lord, but no thanks. You can give that invitation, religious life, to someone else. But this is what I'll do, Lord. I'll get married and have lots of children,
yeah.
2, 4, 6, 10, 12. they can all be priests and religious and serve your church. And but clearly the story has changed.
Yeah.
So a couple of years later, a friend entered the Nashville Dominicans, our community. And it was through her just gentle encouragement just to come and see. Really, I went to go visit her one February, the year before I entered. And stepped through the doors and knew that that's where the Lord wanted me. And I'd eventually come to realize that that desire in my heart to be a wife and a mother was fulfilled in the religious life by being a spouse of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, and then all the spiritual children that, thanks be to God, I've had the opportunity to form and touch.
Yeah, what a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being honest about that, too. I think a lot of people just suspect, oh, yeah, these people knew from day one that they were supposed to be part of religious life. Whereas, you know, it's always a process of discernment, right?
That's
right. You need to be seeking after the Lord's will.
It's a journey.
Okay, so white habits. What's that signifying? Why the white habits?
Yes.
It seems like they become dirty very easily.
Sure, sure. So
especially working with kids.
Especially with children. So white, the white-robed army of the Book of Revelation, right? So religious are called to be an eschatological sign, a sign of the kingdom. And so St. Dominic, in his vision for the order, having the habit white, and our veils are black. The friars have kappas, which are black. So a sign of innocence and penance. So that I am not worthy. The day that we receive our habit, we kneel before Mother and we say, we ask for the mercy of God and yours and to receive the holy habit of St. Dominic. On the day of profession, we say the same thing, the mercy of God of yours. We recognize that we are not worthy. The habit is first for us, but recognizing our call to that purity of heart and that is also done through penance, right? Penance for my own sins, penance for the sins of the world, and the work of the salvation of souls. So a sign of the Lord's kingdom to which we are called to strive for each and every day, that we, as brides of Christ, get to begin here on this earth until the day that we meet the Lord Jesus and see him face to face.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And you've explained the rosary, which I know that's part of the deal too, Dominicans and their dedication to the to Our Lady, but through specifically through the rosary. Obviously, there have been some very, very significant Dominican saints that have come, but why don't you list a few of them, just in case our listeners are unfamiliar with some of the Dominican saints?
Sure, absolutely. Some of those that are perhaps a little less known, perhaps, Blessed Jordan. So the Dominicans pray the Salve Regina each evening. Part of our night prayers, our last time in common. So Blessed Jordan, that inspiration came to him from Our Lady. Blessed Reginald, another great Dominican, who the scapular was given to him by Our Lady. Of course, many of us know the great Saint Catherine of Siena, who is instrumental and courageous in a very difficult time of the church, bringing unity, encouraging the Holy Father. By speaking with great courage and great wisdom, being led by the Holy Spirit. She's my confirmation saint before I knew anything about Dominicans.
Oh, she had you. She had you pegged too then.
She sure did. And of course, the great Saint Thomas Aquinas, who wrote the Summa, had a deep love for the truth, a brilliant man of great intelligence. But what also sets Thomas apart that I think sometimes we forget is his humility and his bowing before the throne of the Lord, his love for the Eucharist. So those are some of the greats. Albert, of course, teacher of Thomas.
Yeah. Wow. Fantastic. All right. So let's shift gears here a little bit. Before we let you go, I want to make sure and check in with you about what's going on at St. Croix Catholic. How are things going?
Yes, thanks for asking. So this is actually my second time back at St. Croix. I was a teacher there, one of my first teaching assignments back in, I think I was first there in 2005. And it was a beautiful place then. Pastor at that time was Father Lavore, now Bishop Lavore. And so now we're being led by Father Eisen, pastor of St. Mary's and St. Michael's, who's also the canonical administrator of our school. And beautiful things happening. You know, the church calls us in the work of Christian education, laity and priests and religious, to come together to serve our young people. And that's happening in a beautiful way at St. Croix Catholic with faithful men and women, our teachers, our laity, who are desire to be holy, desire to bring these souls closer to the Lord, the Good Shepherd. And we as religious helping to lead, in my case, lead that charge, the other sisters who serve there. I'm working alongside the lady. It's a great gift and a great honor. Beautiful families, young people who are joyful and full of energy, who certainly help me to be reminded of what is most important. And we're striving constantly for excellence, right? How can we form the whole child intellectually and spiritually in seeking the truth and seeing their goodness, the greatness that they're made for, and then living it?
Yeah, yeah. Are you filled up for this coming year?
We're ready.
Yeah? You're ready to go?
We're ready to go. We'll have children back in the seats on August 26th.
Okay.
So looking forward for the first day of school. We have a couple of new sisters who are going to be joining us in the school, and our lay faculty, again, that's been so so generous and so faithful. I always love the start of a new school year. There's a freshness and a joy and a readiness. That Samuel, ready, Lord.
Yeah.
Come to do your will.
Fantastic. And you're they're rooting out all the Albigensians as well.
That's right. That's right.
Very good.
Seek the truth.
Well, Sister Maria Ivana, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour for this introduction to St. Dominic. And we will celebrate him well on the 8th of August. And we'll think of you. How about that? We'll pray for you. Please pray for us.
We'll do. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, too. All right. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, Paul and I have all sorts of wonderful events to tell you about that'll bring you closer to the Lord. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
You can borrow mine when your hope is gone. Borrow mine when you can't go on.
Paul, we're feasting it up in this week to come.
Amen.
Transfiguration, Dominic. We got a lot of good folks coming here our way.
You always have good folks coming your way on the Rediscover.
I like to hear you say that. What else do we have coming our way,
Grandparents
Paul?
Grandparents can join the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Office of Evangelization on a grandparents' pilgrimage to the Holy Land with Grandparents Ministry Chaplain Father Joseph Bamanek. Pilgrimage takes place January 7th through 16th, 2020. Pilgrimage sites include the Sea of Galilee, Mount Tabor, Garden of Gethsemane, so much more. For more information, visit pilgrimagesbycts.com. Click on upcoming trips to Israel, Holy Land. Registration deadline is August 10th, so sign up today.
The Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office is sponsoring a summer event on August 10th called Life in the Spirit Day at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia Heights from 8:30 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. with an optional Mass at 5. Does your faith need recharging or are you in a spiritual rut? Come and discover what it means to enter a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. The day includes great speakers, praise and worship, praying for baptism in the Holy Spirit, small groups, and lunch. There's a suggested donation of $25. Visit ccro-msp.org to register or call 763-571-5314 for more information.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture and the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Office of Evangelization invite you to join them as they explore the nature of masculinity and the gift men are to their families and to the world at a seminar August 17th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Keynote speaker Bishop Andrew Cousins on how to love like a man. For more information, visit the Siena Symposium website, stthomas.edu, or contact Dr. Deborah Savage, pdsavage@stthomas.edu. Registration deadline Wednesday, August 14th.
And grandparents, after you go and check out and sign up for that pilgrimage to the Holy Land, then save the date Saturday, August 24th for the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The conference will take place Saturday, August 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The conference will include keynote speaker Marianne Kaharsky, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bamanek, who's also going on the pilgrimage, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. Also have an hour of adoration led by Archbishop Bernard Hebda and more. For more details and register, go to CatholicGrandparenting.org.
Women are invited to the Archdiocesan Women's Retreat Saturday, September 28th, 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Theme of this year's retreat is Living Grace, Seeing the Extraordinary in the Ordinary, and will begin with Mass celebrated by Bishop Andrew Cousins, an Adoration Hour led by Archbishop Hebda. Day includes awesome keynote speakers, including Nell O'Leary, Father Brian Park, and Dia Boyle. Find out more about the speakers and the retreat on the events page at archspm.org and register today.
Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, the 2019 Leading with Faith Award winners will tackle what it means to lead with faith in the workplace. We'll hear from John Trojak, Mark Novitsky, and ophthalmologist Dr. Mike Ritchie. Also, Elizabeth Westhoff, why you should visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.